Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Good morning. We're off to a good start. Had a wonderful music selection this morning, and so glad to be here with you today and share this time together. It didn't take me very long before I was called up and asked if I'd be able to share with you this morning, and I said, yes, I'm home. We're not traveling. And we will be home on the 11th. And so I was trying to figure out what I was going to share with you. And it seems to me over and over again in this day and age that some of the things that, as I look across this congregation, in the days past, we've had some great leaders. We've had some great pastors over the years that had led us and helped us to find God's path for our life and come lockstep with him, allow Jesus to lead us in our journey of life, and make an impact in our world that we live in. And it just seems that the harder we work for the kingdom of God, we look around us and we see the world that we're in, and we start to see things falling apart, one thing after another. It doesn't take us very long to see that. And what I want to share with you is some things, one of the things that you've already done. You've established some standards in your life. And if you haven't established any standards, you're mistaken, because you live by a certain standards. But I want you to come to a point where you realize what standards to choose and what's ahead of us, and how we can build our lives on values that will last. I'm reminded over and over again, I can't remember whether it's Billy Graham or what evangelist was, he says, today's new morality is nothing more than yesterday's immorality. And that was probably told, I don't know how, maybe Billy Graham, not Billy Graham, it probably started with Jesus. But I ask you this morning, what are your values? What are the things that help you be the individual that you are? What sets you, what sets your anchor? How are you anchored as an individual? Because your values are your core beliefs as an individual. They shape you for everything and every decision that you make in your life, because it helps us change our behavior, the values that we have. And our behavior determines what you become as an individual. And our behavior dictates our conduct, and our conduct determines our character as an individual. And so if you want to build your life and have success and significance in the world that we live in, we have to start looking at the values that determine us as an individual. It doesn't make any difference who you ask, whatever political party you might be a part of, whether you're an independent, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It doesn't even make any difference if you're an atheist. People in general, about 80% of the people in our world that we live in our nation today, believe and they see that our country is in moral decline. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It kind of reminds me of the story that we've all heard about. If you take a frog and you put it in hot water, it immediately jumps out of the pot of water. It reacts because it's so hot. But if you take that same frog and you put him in a nice cool or warm pot and you start to put it on the burner, it will never jump out of the pot. And in fact, it will stay in the pot until it's cooked. And we see that happening in our nation. We've seen that in our generation. I'm what, 71 years old, and some of you might be a little older than I am, some of you are younger than I am, but we've seen different things change around us. Those things that used to be wrong and immoral, those things that used to be absolutely abhorred, we come to simply say, well, we won't condemn it, but we're going to go ahead and accept it, because that's the way of life. And I'm here to tell you that that is not what God has called us to do or to be. Now, I'm not saying that we need to step out and take marching out, going out of here today to take a stand against something, but we need to establish for us what truth is. And that's what is basically being eroded in our society today. It's basically truth decay. It's not tooth decay, but it is truth decay. The truth has been decaying in our country over the years. If you don't believe me, you can go ahead and pull some of the magazines, past magazine articles, and you can start reading what some of the captions are. One individual had gone through and had found over 350 articles that basically address the morality issues and the crisis in our nation. Here are some of the titles. In the U.S., is the U.S. in moral trouble? Can we save our culture? The character deficiency syndrome. Fighting to fill the values gap. The decline of a nation. A nation of liars. These are some of the most popular secular magazines that have been taken on these things. The moral obtuseness of America. Living in the new dark ages. Morals and mixed signals. The new dangers of relativism. Signs of hope amid moral decay. Why has common courtesy become less common? Over and over again, I can give you 350 different titles of magazine articles that address the morality that we've been facing as a nation. If we're in a turmoil, and we have to ask ourselves, why does this happen? What's happened in our country? What's taken place in our nation that this is being under attack? And we can see this very easily in several areas of our lives. Would you say that this might be an issue in politics? Amen. How about businesses that we've seen some of these morality decisions that have been taken place? The entertainment world, education, and even in religion. We have a tendency to hold religion, above, reproach, but we know that even within religious ranks that there's been this decay of truth, the decay of morality. And we have to ask ourselves, why is it that this pot continues to boil and we not see it, and we continue to see our nation not taking a stance? What's the cause of truth decay? It's because people don't care about truth anymore. People care about simply, does it work for me? I don't care about truth, but I have to know whether it works for me. We have an entire generation of young people and children who don't even know the difference between right and wrong. They're being challenged at every turn. We try to teach and instruct our children in the ways that they shall go, and yet later on within an education system, we see that being challenged by teachers, professors, school books. So we see that we're in a nation, in a world that simply says, what may be right for you may be wrong for me, and what might be right for you may be wrong for me. And so why is this happening? There's basically three different philosophies that we as Christians, we as a nation, whether we are a person of high moral standards, there are three philosophies that's attacking us. There's three philosophies that have replaced truth in our nation, in our society. The first one I want to talk to you about is individuality or individualism. Basically, I live for myself and only I can be the standard of my life. Only I can really judge what's true and only I can judge what's right and only I can judge what's wrong. And I don't have any place for you to tell me what's right or wrong because I'm an individual. You know, that's not a new idea. We can go back to Adam and Eve and see that they thought the same thing. It's a me, mine, myself, where we have the tendency to say, I am the one that's going to determine what's right and wrong because it fits my agenda. It tells us in Judges 21:25, in those days, Israel had no authority. So the people did whatever was right in their own eyes. You see, it's not new. It's not something that has just happened in our day and age, but it has been a problem that has plagued mankind for a long time. It's me, myself, and I. It's just all about me. Let me determine what's right and wrong. And what you have to say doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference about universal laws or anything else. I am the one that makes that decision. It basically, this was a time period in Israel where everything was in chaos as a nation. There were no judges. There were no standards. There were no rules, no laws, no absolutes. The people just did whatever they wanted. That's pretty good philosophy to have if you don't want to feel guilty. You see, as soon as you put a standard in there, as soon as you put some laws or some organization in and say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, all of a sudden, when someone breaks one of those laws, you feel guilty. You see, I don't have to measure up to any other one, any standards. I don't have to match your standards or anyone else. We've gotten to the point where we simply say it's easier to ask God for forgiveness than it is permission. And we go ahead and do it our own way. The second philosophy that we see in our society today is called secularism. Secularism can be summarized in three words. God is unnecessary. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. It just simply says he's not needed. He's off on some throne, on some cloud somewhere, some space beyond here. And, you know, I can function very well in life without God. He's not a necessary item. And that's what secularism, and it just simply says he's unnecessary. We've seen in our own country, in our own nation, where we've allowed people to challenge the Ten Commandments to be placed in public spaces, in courthouses and around the country in different places. It was being taken down, the Ten Commandments, even though it was something that helped form the Constitution of the United States. And even before the Constitution, the Mayflower Compact. So we see that not only do the Ten Commandments have influenced our Western civilization, but it has also influenced nations and civilizations around the world when you look at the Ten Commandments. But yet, secularism has been trying to remove God from all those public places. See, they want to keep God to Sunday mornings only in this time slot. They don't want him out and about making impacts on people's lives. 40 years ago, more people went to church than didn't go to church. I can remember a time period when that was what everyone did. I can remember that stores were closed on Sundays. You never went to a store on Sunday because they weren't open. You still see that some places today. Try to go get a Chick-fil-A sandwich this afternoon. Not going to happen. And yet they're still a successful business. But there was a time and period in our nation where that was something that we as a country, as a nation, we realized 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh day you rest. And so we see that God has been challenged, and his people have been trying to replace him and even do away with Sunday worship. And we have to ask ourselves, where are our children? Where are the people getting their values? Where are we getting our values? And where are our morals come from? If we turn to the television, we might turn on Oprah. We might turn on The View. We might turn on some reality shows that portray different individuals and lifestyles that they bring out and say, this is normal. And we sit back and say, wow, I didn't know that that was normal. And we say, well, maybe I need to reconsider my values. Maybe I need to step back and second guess what the Bible has to say on this. And we're faced with making decisions because we're seeing God replaced with secularism. It tells us in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship created things rather than the Creator. And that's called materialism, where we start to worship things that we've created, that we've made. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a fine piece of art. It doesn't make any difference if it's a boat. It doesn't make any difference if a house. If we start worshiping those things, those are things that we've created as opposed to worshiping God. And God has become unessential in our lives. So God's unnecessary, and I live for myself. The third philosophy that we see that is eroding and decaying truth is not just individual. Here we go. I have to stop singing on Sunday mornings when I get ready to spill the pulpit, because my voice does not hold up like it used to. But God's able to help me through this and help me this morning. So we see that individualism and secularism is attacking truth and truth decay and creating truth decay, but also relativism. Relativism is basically two words: no absolutes. Relativism says there are no absolutes. The idea behind relativism goes like this: what's true for you may not be true for me, and what's truth for you may not be truth for me, because there's no absolutes. Therefore, whatever's right for me and may not be right for you, and what's right for you may not be right for me, because there's no absolutes. And anybody that says what's right or wrong, and nobody can say what's right or wrong, because all truth is relative and it's vague. You know, that's a great way to live if you don't want to feel guilty. If you don't want to have guilt in your life, you just say everything's just relative. And I can go ahead and say, well, not in this situation, or not today, because today is a different day than yesterday, and tomorrow it's going to be something else. And so we change our morals, our values. I can lie in this situation because it's just relative. It doesn't hurt to tell a lie. I can cheat over here because it's just relative, and I'll be on it. You see, relativism simply says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. All I have to do is be sincere. I remember a story that they were telling that after the turn of the century, in about 1920, that they found that if there was, I can't remember whether it was cyanide, but they were using it as a beauty cosmetic item, as long as you took it in small dosages. It was either cyanide or
arsenic.
There we go. Arsenic, because it gave the ladies a nice complexion. And it became basically the rage that they could just take a little bit of this arsenic, and it was in a wafer form. And they took it sincerely, believing that there were no effects, but it gave them great complexion. And then after about 5 or 6 years, these different individuals that had been taking this arsenic started dying because they found out that arsenic was cumulative. It built up in your system until a point that you were basically going to die. And they were dropping dead, and all of a sudden they backed up and said, hey, we better stop doing this. We need to take this off the market as being a great cosmetic item. But if you want to go ahead and prove your complexion and you're not happy with it, there's temporary relief. You can be sincere in drinking something and thinking that this is a glass of water and it could be poison in there. And even though I'm sincere, it's not going to save me from the harmful effects of drinking it. So when we apply that to our values and we see relativism, relativism says, doesn't matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere about it. Sincerity is not enough. When people tell you the truth, I want you to realize something. They're not judging you as an individual. They're being kind to you. When you try to explain God's word and his teachings and His precepts and his promises, when you explain that to people, it's not that you're trying to judge them as an individual. You're just trying to be kind to them and let them be saved from the consequences of their decisions. You see, God's not mocked when we make poor choices, when we choose not to obey his commandments. When we disobey God, we suffer the consequences of our choices. So relativism simply says there are no absolutes in life. It was kind of like the one college professor that said, there are no absolutes in life. To which I responded, and I said, are you absolutely sure? Because the statement is contradictory to itself. When you make the statement, there are no absolutes in life, you're making an absolute statement that there are no absolutes. So it's a contradictory to itself. And we realize that in life, when we stop and pause and we think, there are absolute laws. There's the law of gravity. Aren't you glad that for the law of gravity, it's an absolute? Look at all the different sciences that we have. Look at medicine prescriptions, for instance. Aren't you glad that the doctor's giving you the right dosage in your pill when it's made up and he prescribes it for you? So there's rights and wrongs. There are absolutes in our society. We realize that truth is narrow. Narrow is the way. And that's why it's called truth. And God says he wants us to know truth. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were no traffic laws whatsoever? The first thing I'd do is I'd go out and get myself a big monster truck. I'd take care of those roundabouts right on over through the center. Aren't you glad that there's some traffic laws out there that suggest the speed limit in different areas? We realize that we need to have absolutes in our life. In today's society, relativism, which is basically the prevailing attitude in most of today's society, the highest value in our society is tolerance. You need to tolerate people. We value tolerance more than truth. You don't want to say the truth to people. You don't want to tell them the truth because you might hurt somebody. You may offend somebody. They may disagree with you. So you just need to be quiet and don't say anything. What we're supposed to do is tolerate each other. In fact, the worst sin in our society today is to be labeled intolerant. Because then you are a bigot. Because you disagree. You're narrow-minded. You're judgmental. You're intolerant. It's not being intolerant when you tell someone the truth. You're not being judgmental when you tell someone to tell the truth. Today, all ideas seem to be equally valid, and they're all the truth, even when they contradict each other. The extreme expression of this is called political correctness. I have to make sure I use the correct pronouns. I have to be retaught. I have to be reprogrammed. God has something to say about all this nonsense called hogwash. Well, that's my translation, according to James. When God, it tells us in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness, and they are far away from God, the life of God. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. You see, some people are so closed-minded that God cannot penetrate. We are not able to make penetration. They become a detriment to themselves. So we see these philosophies are the cause of the truth decay that we have in our society. And what's the cost? The cost is our culture itself is collapsing upon itself. On Time Magazine, one of the articles there says, lying, everybody's doing it. Honest. Violence goes mainstream. The business of pornography. America is now far the world's leading producer of pornographic over any other nation. Suicide. Why do people kill themselves? Sexual desires. The new view of what's normal. Mom, I want a divorce. Where kids are simply divorcing their parents. Children in crisis, the struggle to save America's soul. Or another article, how our kids are being robbed of their childhood, growing up scared. Don't we see that in our nation today? We see it more prevalent over and over again, and we hate to turn on the news for fear of what's getting ready to come across, and then we see the next thing that's down the line. The other day, I was watching the news, and where a police officer answered the call to domestic violence. As she got there, there was a man there that was involved with it, and she proceeded to have him stopped. She needed to check him for weapons, and he refused and got into a fight with her, pulled her weapon from her, and shot at her. She said she saw the gun pointing at her point blank, and he somehow missed. And she got up and she ran, and this was all on video. And he shot at her again as she was running away with her revolver. Went to court, the man got off, and the officer said it was her fault. Even with the evidence that was in front of them. And we ask ourselves, what's happening within our judicial system? How can these things take place? How can it happen that we would allow these types of things to take place? It's because of the decay of morality and the decay of truth. What's the cost? In the next 30 minutes, 228 children will be beaten, molested, or otherwise abused. 57 kids will run away from home in the next 30 minutes. And 3 out of 4 of those girls will end up selling themselves for sex. In the next 30 minutes, 20 children will attempt suicide. 285 children will become victims of a broken home. Today in America, pornographic bookstores outnumber McDonald's 3-1. Every day in America, 14 children and youth are murdered. 326 children are arrested for alcohol offenses. We ask ourselves, what's the cost of these philosophies and the decay of truth? These things are coming upon us because we choose as a nation to go away from God instead of towards God. What's the cost? Proverbs 29:18 tells us right there in Proverbs 29:18, where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. So when we take God out of the equation, all of a sudden we see that crime continues to run wild. You see, God's word is there to give us guidance. It's our manual for life. It's our instruction manual. You know those things, guys, that we, when we get that package and we toss it over in the corner and we continue to put things together, and when we have parts left over, we say, well, maybe I better go check the instructions. Well, that's how a lot of people are living their lives today. They continue to work through life, make their way through life without reading the owner's manual. And the owner's manual has all the instructions that we need right there in front of us, and yet we ignore it. We deny it. And that's why today we are witnessing a flip-flop of the values in our society. On one hand, marriage is called out of date, confining, medieval age, servility for women, and we don't need it, unless you're gay. In that case, we're going to promote gay marriage because it is a really good thing to do. We see the flip-flop. It's important here, but it's not important here. And it doesn't make sense to us. And we step back and we scratch our heads and we say, where's all this coming from? It's coming from people that fail to read the owner's manual and understand what is right and wrong. Isaiah 50, 20. Destruction is certain for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark. I can remember often reminding my congregation at Newton Falls that with every promise, there is a premise. And I can see that here as well. Destruction is certain. Do you want to avoid destruction, or do you want to have destruction? That's a promise. You see that? Destruction is certain. For those who say evil is good and good is evil, the dark is light and light is day. If we can't come and find in God's word what the truth is, then we are going down the path of darkness, and we will see certain destruction. With every promise, there is a premise. What we will reap what we sow. Proverbs 29:18, a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. And we go back to our founding fathers. Our nation was founded on two presuppositions of God. Number one, that from God in heaven, our rights are endowed by our Creator. The rights that we have are given to us by God, and that we are to follow the basic moral laws that He has laid out. Those were our founding fathers. They saw that as a cornerstone for our society, as our nation, as we move forward. A study of over 15,000 documents of the founding fathers of our nation, letters, articles, documents, they discovered that 34% of the quotes of the founding fathers were taken directly from the scripture. God had a very important part of the founding of this nation. The Bible had a very important part in helping us to decide what was morally right and how we ought to live. In Psalm 11:3, when the foundations of life are undermined, what can good people do? We're challenged. We are challenged today. We're being challenged at every side, from the side of education, from our government, as to how we ought to live our lives, what is right and what is wrong, and how you ought to just simply never condemn anyone or never tell anybody the truth of what God has for them. And we are under attack. We know that. We've seen that over the years. So you say, Pastor Jim, what are you getting at? What am I supposed to do? We need to identify the cure for this situation in our nation. That comes back to this part. The cure is to rebuild the foundation of my life, of any businesses that we have, of our family. It begins with the individual. It goes out to the family and those in our surrounding neighborhood. We need to go ahead and rebuild the foundation on solid ground. God shows how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time. Proverbs 2:9. You see, God put within every individual, whether they have the Bible or not, he put within them the ability to make good moral decisions. It tells us that over in Romans. Even those that were heathens, those that hadn't received the word of God, they knew what to do right and what was morally right to do. Morality, Abraham Lincoln made the statement, morality without God is impossible. And followed up by George Washington, a moral government without God is impossible. Some of our great leaders realized that God was an essential component for a moral government, for us to have morality as a nation. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us, all scripture is inspired by God and is used to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. 2 Timothy 3:16. You see, God's word gives us true north, the direction that we need to go to get back on course. That's what that passage is telling us. It teaches what is true and help us realize what's wrong. I've gotten off the path, and God's word saying, hey, you've gotten off the path. You need to get back on the path and go the right way. A couple years ago, we went camping over in Pennsylvania, Grand Canyon, and we went with another couple, and we had been spending a couple days there backpacking and went out to view the canyon out below us and this vantage point. And the wives were having a challenging day keeping up with us. And they decided, well, we've looked at this enough. We're going to go ahead and get a head start, go on ahead of you. And my friend and I, we stayed another 5-10 minutes, and then we started going on. And half hour later, we hadn't caught up to the girls. And we thought, wait a minute, we got to go through this, and they can't be, whoa. We realized immediately they had turned around and were going back the wrong way. They had lost their bearings. They had come out to the bluff about 200 yards from the main trail. When they got back to the trail, they were going the wrong way. And so I ditched my backpack, and I take off running. I was a little bit more fit at that time. And I finally, after about 20 minutes, I thought, where are they at? They must be making a great time. And I finally found them. I had a whistle, and they finally heard the whistle. And they stopped, and I said, what's going on? And I said, you're going the wrong way. They got an extra 2 miles out of us that day. Then, well, I guess I got the extra mileage. But you know what? Sometimes when we're headed the wrong way, God says, if you study my word and you get into my word and you don't see things going the right way, it will help you get back on the right path. That's what that passage is saying. It will help us make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us what to do, what is right. Because as Christians, there's times that we head down the wrong path many times. And God says, wait a minute, Junior. He calls me Junior because he's much older than I am. And he says, we need to get things straightened around. You're making some poor choices here. And it's God's word that helps us realize what's wrong and how to get back to true north. So how do I know when something is true and when it's just an opinion of someone? There are two tests. Truth is universal. Truth is true here, and it's true for me when I'm in California. It's true for me when I'm in Australia. It doesn't make any difference where I am or who I am. It is true for everyone. Truth is truth. It does not waver. And truth is unchanging. It doesn't change just because we have a new day. It doesn't change just because culture around us is changing. Truth is truth. Psalm 119, God's word is a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. You say to me, I need God's light in my path right now because 3 weeks from now I got this very important decision to make. And then let me tell you right now, God gives you the light on the path in front of you. He doesn't give you the light for 3 days or 3 weeks down the road. But he will give you the guidance and the direction that you need for today if you go to him and you seek from him and say, God, here I am. I need your guidance right now. I need someone to come alongside me. Jim, it was so great for you to come forward this morning. And men, when you came forward to pray around him and support him, just gathering in and supporting one another. You may be going through a dark time in your life and some tough decisions ahead. But I'm here to tell you that God will help you make the right choice. Don't waver. Don't turn to the right or the left. Follow the truth. Follow the true north. Allow God to guide your steps. Because it tells us in Proverbs 16:20, those who listen to God's instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be happy. Do you want to be prosperous? Yay? No? One amen. One person wants to be prosperous. I'm glad one person wants to be prosperous in the church. Do you want to be prosperous?
Yes.
Do you want to be happy?
Yes.
Do you see that that is a promise that God gives you here in this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 16:20? But with every promise, there is a premise. It tells us those are the promises that we can be prosperous and we can be happy, but it tells us those who listen to God's instruction will prosper. If we're not prosperous, probably a reason for it. If we're not happy, there's probably a reason for it. We need to get into God's word and allow God's word to make its impact on us. And I need to choose my standard. Beloved, God's standard is right here. It's in front of us. We have it with us, and God has made it available to us. All we have to do is follow him. Father, I want to thank you so much for this church, and I want to thank you for all that you have done for us down through the years. I ask, Lord, that you would help us continue to be your ambassadors in the world that we live in, that we would be kind, that we would be vigilant, and that we would continue to be your people in a world that is trying to find truth, but they don't know how to find it. And we ask that you would guide us and that you would give us the wisdom we need to have in order to share what you have for our neighbors and our loved ones, our family members, and that you give us the boldness to do it with respect and honor. We ask your blessings on this day and on your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.